The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
A large scale US attack has taken place on Venezuela. Donald Trump has confirmed that there were missile strikes and also that the president, Nicolas Maduro, and his wife have been captured by US forces. Opposition sources telling Sky News at the moment they believe that that capture was negotiated, and Venezuela has declared a state of emergency and sort of appealed to the world at large to look at what is going on there, to discuss this in a little bit more detail and the Irish interest in this story as well. I'm joined on the line by Declan Power, security and defence analyst, and Cathal Berry, former independent TD and former commandant in the Armed Ranger wing of the Defence Forces. Declan, I might start with you and just bring us up to date about what we know at the moment about what's happened in Venezuela, literally in the last couple of hours.
Well, we only know really what the Americans have told us, and it appears that they have launched a limited full-spectrum attack on Venezuela, and they have taken the head of state into captivity. What I think will be interesting to know is that phrase you used earlier when you were introducing it, that it was done with some acquiescence, that there was some tic-tacking, some obvious communication that may have taken place beforehand, and that maybe that has led to a limitation on the damage done. Mm. It seems that this has been telegraphed to all and sundry for a while, that the Trump administration was intent on doing something. From the attacks on these small boats smuggling drugs, which obviously is something that is in nobody's interest. But one element of this that has been consistent right up until the news we've received this morning is this is a sledgehammer to crack a nutshell. And why is the US, why are the Trump administration focused on this? And I would suggest that it's an element of distraction, something to give the MAGA faithful that this is a clear win. It's an easy win. There's no major threat to the United States or its forces emanating from this. And it can be packaged up in all sorts of different ways for political usage.
You might bring us into the background of this for people who haven't followed it in the past. So the claim from the US has been that this is related to drugs, and you know, a big issue of the election, Donald Trump's election, was combating fentanyl and how it was coming into the country, and we saw that in the tariffs. But people will have also heard David Blevins of Sky in the news there saying that actually this is more likely to be about oil. Is it a bit of both, or what's the actual background to the perhaps political reasoning for Trump doing this?
I think it's, to an extent about oil, but I think it's largely about politics, and it's largely about the Trump administration and the advisors he has around him looking for cheap, quick, easy wins that are a good political sales product. I mean, as regards oil, there are lots of different areas, locations that the US would look for to solve its energy needs. Venezuela was not necessarily top of the list to the extent that it required this sort of a dramatic intervention. The fentanyl issue has been ongoing, and to most observers, fentanyl was weaponized as a political weapon some time ago. And in order to escalate this and its utility as a political weapon, you needed to have something of a bigger threat nature, a nation state actor, and Venezuela fill that role. Its particular posture, its loose and shoddy arrangements with regards to policing illicit drug provision in its territory, made it a very unintentional but willing supplicant in this charade, is what I would describe it as. I mean, with all of the things that are going on in the world, and with two key conflicts that need the US's attention, it's frankly ridiculous that this has become the focus. And that's what has happened.
Is it, do you think, entirely politically driven? Because, of course, Donald Trump also said during his election bid, and not to be totally shocked that he would go back on something that he said, but he was pulling America back from these kind of conflicts. This is something we might have seen from American presidents of the past, but that he had something of an aversion to them.
Yeah, but this is one that meets all the requirements. It doesn't require a large-scale deployment of US boots on the ground. It doesn't require any significant risk of US personnel or indeed interests in what he's doing. Although I would argue that the longer-term strategy is actually quite risk heavy to the United States. What it's doing is it's drawing the attention of the body politic, the public, and all of the US's range of both military and diplomatic resources into an area, a region that is not requiring that level of attention and that is not a threat to the US, its interests, or indeed that of its allies, or broader long-term interests. Its broader long-term interests lie, as far as the US is concerned, over in the direction of China. But it's been having difficulty in trying to get its way there. So it's taken attention away from there. But also in Europe, I mean, the shambolic attempt to try and reason with Putin and to lessen the conflict or to bring it to some sort of a head has been put further down the list of things to do by the Trump administration. It's as if, in some respects, that the bigger issues of things like managing China, dealing with Russia and supporting his allies, including ourselves in Europe, and indeed trying to put a proper end to the carnage in Gaza, has become a little bit too difficult. So here's an easier game that the rules are all stacked in the US's favour. Yeah. And that's what's happening here. I'm very cynical about it. It's a classic distraction and waste of resources. I'm sure a lot of people in the US and in Congress and beyond, and even in the Republican Party, are somewhat dismayed at this.
Cathal Berry, former Independent TD and former Army Ranger, is also on the line. Cathal, would you agree with that analysis? Is this sort of a political move, or do you think there's more behind it?
Good morning, Sean. Yeah, absolutely. Look, Declan is spot on there for sure. There's definitely a major political focus here. And the other thing is just to follow on what Declan was saying, is the Chinese and the Russian influence in South America as well. Obviously, the United States are very, very clear to their Monroe Doctrine that they're in charge of the Western Hemisphere. And they're very, very keen to emphasize that point physically. They've done it before in the 1980s with the invasion of Grenada and Panama as well. So it's a very similar operation to what happened in 1989 when the US went into Panama to seize Manuel Noriega. He was flown to a Miami courthouse where he was found guilty of drug trafficking, and he spent a number of decades in the US prison. So very, very similar model and a very, very similar template to what happened back in 1989. So that's probably how things are going to play out over the next few weeks and months, I suspect. So the key question from Ireland is, how does the transition take place now from dictatorship in Venezuela to democracy? And obviously Ireland is very, very key that it's done in a very, very peaceful way, a peaceful transition to power. You might remember that.
Cathal, your line is just breaking up a little bit too much there. We're going to try and just sort that out and see if we can bring you back in. Declan, to go back to you for a second and maybe pick up on that point that Cathal was making. Mm. What now for Maduro? And obviously, there's a little bit of guesswork here as to how this all happened, as we just discussed about a minute ago. Was this a negotiated handover? Because I think Trump had said to him in the past, or at least it was reported, he had privately advised him to flee the country. Now that he's in American hands, will it be, as Cathal suggested there, back to an American courtroom and a guilty verdict and into a Guantanamo Bay or somewhere?
Well, yeah, Cathal was making some very interesting points there, and to take up on them and link in. I mean, this represents a retreat to the past in some ways of U.S. foreign policy in that region, of using its instruments, both covert and overt, to destabilize regimes that weren't doing its bidding or that it wanted to steer in a certain direction that was suitable and of benefit to U.S. interests. But that was in a Cold War era, and the world was much more, was laid out somewhat differently. I think what is interesting is, you could argue, was there some sort of a gesture to both the Russians and the Chinese not to be interfering in the US backyard? But there were better, I would argue there were better ways to flex muscle. And if this was purely a fentanyl issue, for example, I mean, that would normally be something that would be DEA-led. That's their area of expertise, the Drug Enforcement Agency, the Federal Law Enforcement Agency that deals with that, and that has been very active in leading very complex operations against drug cartels in the South American region. And they've been largely sidelined in all of this. In fact, what happened was the drug issue was weaponized it was reconfigured to become a national security military issue by the Trump administration. So to come back to your point about Maduro and, you know, what next? Well, I think we'll see this pan out, but has there been some sort of a deal done where Maduro realized that running meant he was always going to be running, and was he going to lose more than he would gain in doing some sort of a deal and becoming compliant to the US, maybe going, being deported to US territory, facing a set of charges, but coming out of it at the other end with some sort of political power intact once he's become the US guy in situ? I don't know. It remains to be seen. Or will he be just taken out of the scene completely, but left with some sort of income and is safely intact?
Yeah.
Is there somebody waiting in the wings? That would be the interesting. Who would be the interim leader? And where will they arise from?
Yeah, and sort of maybe the American body on the throne. Carl Berry is back on the line. Carl, we were just picking up on the point that you were talking about there about what now for Maduro and what is likely to happen. You might, and I appreciate this is a bit of guesswork, but how will this have happened? Will it be, you kind of have images of special forces arriving in helicopters and grappling down the building and all this sort of stuff that you might see in a Netflix drama. But if it was a negotiated deal, would it have been very different from that? And perhaps, as Declan is suggesting, maybe in exchange for a certain quality of life afterwards in the US, albeit in custody?
Yeah, again, very similar to the 1989 operation with relation to Noriega and Panama when the US invaded there. So obviously there was a degree of negotiation and acquiescence as well. So obviously Navy SEALs would have most likely flown in by helicopter from a US naval ship, seized himself and his wife, Maduro, and he's probably en route to a Miami courthouse now as we speak. Again, the big question now is the transition of power from dictatorship to democracy and how that's going to happen. And your listeners might remember the Nobel Peace Prize for 2025 was awarded to Maria Machado. So she's one of the strongest opposition leaders in Venezuela at the moment. Again, there may be a deal done in relation to who assumes the presidency then thereafter. So I suppose that's where Ireland's focus will be now, and the EU's response and the UN response be something similar. That we're not going to change the Americans' view on what happened in the last 24 hours, but the focus now needs to be on how are we going to make sure there's a sustainable and a peaceful democratic transition in Venezuela.
Mm. And for people who don't know anything about Nicolas Maduro, I mean, what kind of a leader was he? Is this a justified removal in some way?
Well, it's completely legal, first of all. So while it's a military victory, it looks like, well, at least it's probably a moral defeat, in that it could embolden other large countries, the great powers across the world, to act unilaterally now in their spheres of influence, as they will see. So I mean, it could open a Pandora's box from that perspective. But to answer your specific question, Maduro is a military leader initially. He was trained in the military, but he was an elected politician, an elected parliamentarian. He has been president for a number of years, but there's a question mark over the legitimacy of his presidency. He always seems to win by just the slimmest of majorities, and the opposition leaders don't recognize his legitimacy in relation to a presidency. So he's widely regarded as a dictator. And the key question now is, how do we move peacefully from dictatorship to democracy in Venezuela?
Yeah, we were actually going to have you both on to talk about Irish security initially this morning, just as it happened. Obviously, events overtook us. But I do want to finish, Cathal, on one story that is related to this, because actually the US Coast Guard has been pursuing a vessel that sailed from Venezuela a couple of weeks ago, and it is now likely to end up in Irish waters over this weekend.
Yes, so the Marinera is the name of the vessel. It's a Russian shadow fleet vessel, and that was en route to Venezuela. But when word got to it that the US authorities were thinking of seizing the ship, it turned around. So it's empty. It's an oil tanker, and it's sailing back towards Russia, we believe, at the moment. So it'll probably enter the Irish EEZ, or at least close to the Irish Exclusive Economic Zone, over the next 48 hours or so. I suspect the pressure to board and seize the vessel has reduced significantly with events overnight. So most likely Irish authorities will just monitor it by air and by sea and report back to their international partners in relation to where it physically is. So the pressure from the ship has reduced significantly. But again, it's an issue for Ireland because it just further highlights our lack of resource and of our armed forces, particularly in an airspace and from a maritime point of view.
Absolutely. And look, we might pick up that conversation again in this new plan that has been talked about in the papers. Unfortunately, we are out of time. And as I said, events overtook us. But my thanks to Declan Power, security and defence analyst, and Cathal Berry, former Independent TD and former Army Ranger as well, for their analysis on those breaking events in Venezuela.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.